Tommy Wilton Jr., the head coach and general manager of Cavalry FC, joins us. Tommy, how are you? I imagine you've been licking your wounds, but then also lots to get done turning attention to next season.
Yeah, it's all of the above. You have a day to bleed, day to celebrate, as Mr. Southern used to say around Spruce Meadows, and that's how we're going to take it. You know, as disappointed as we were to not lift the shield, we've got to look back and say, you know, the only way we can have a better season next season is to actually make it to the Canadian Championships final, so beating more MLS sides along the way and lifting the shield. I mean, we've won the league, we've got to semis, and we've you know, got players in the Canadian men's national team set up. So I think that's got to be a bunch of positives that we've got to look at.
Canadian men play against the Americans, I believe, in Orlando in, what, a week and a half. There's been some thought that there might be a look for Dominic Zator. I saw someone writing that on Northern Tribune. What can you tell us about the interest in your young defender?
There is interest. He was on the wider list for the last camp when it was they played at home, as was Marco Carducci. You know, I know he's on the wider list now, and whether he gets announced, that'll be alerted, I believe, first thing in the morning. So, fingers crossed, we're hoping that he gets a sniff, because the guy's had a fantastic season, and it's something that the Canadian men's national team needs coverage in, whether that be a centre-back or full-back.
So, as for yourself as the general manager, take off the coaching hat, put on the GM hat.
Sure.
What's going on immediately, and when do you start to sign players for next year? What sort of transfer windows are you dealing with or without at this juncture?
So pleased to say that a bunch of our players, a good core, we already contracted through beyond the 2020 season. So we knew that we had to have a core to build a culture. We wanted them in the fight with us, not just for the 2019. We didn't know what the standard would be like, but we knew if we built a core, we could always be sustainable in terms of culture for whoever we brought in afterwards. A lot of the guys were on club options, which meant that at the end of this season, we had first right to refusal to extend for next season. So myself, Martin, our operations manager, we've been sat down with all of our players this week and just going through what we call our exit meetings and medicals, and just reviewed the season past, and then looking at, you know, what 2020 looks like. So we're currently in negotiation with a bunch. We'll be making some announcements to our fans to say, like, this is the guys already committed. And as and when we get our options renewed, we'll announce them too. And then tomorrow morning, I'm heading out to Montreal. We've got the U Sports finals and also the U Sports draft. So, you know, we're picking at 6, 9, and 20. So, it doesn't stop, really. You just got to get on with it quickly.
Are you? Is there a particular area you want to focus on? Did playing Forge in a two-game leg in the fall say, geez, we could have been better in one area? I know you're talking about the course of a full season in which you were the best, but your name will not be associated with, I guess, the big plate this year, because that's how the league's decided to determine their champion.
Absolutely. Goals. I mean, you know, we didn't score a goal in 180 minutes, and we have to reflect on why and what and how we can do better for next year. It's a game of fine margins, isn't it? Because, you know, they beat us by one goal when we went down to 10 men, so that totally changed our game plan there. And we were fortunate enough to come home with one, you know, just one goal down. We felt we could score. We felt we could do as much as we could, and I think we threw everything at them but the kitchen sink, and it just didn't come off. You know, you look at a couple of great headers, Don Malonga had, you know, Dominic Zator's had a volley, Nico Pasquotti's had a volley, you know, Julian Boucher, a couple of free kicks, Jose Escalante. And these are ones that through the course of the season we've been lethal at. And, you know, when you win a final, you need a bit of magic. And unfortunately, we ran out of magic over the two legs. And, you know, but it wasn't for the want of trying. And I think that's what we've got to look at, is say, right, okay, if we're in the same situation next year, you know, what other depth do we have on our chart? But I mean, you look at that being said, that when we're chasing a goal, we're taking off a left back in Nathan Mavilla and putting on a left winger in Jose Escalante to give us more. Oliver Minutel comes into the play, you know, as Jordan Brown is, and Oliver Minutel's got 8 goals and Jose's got, you know, 4 goals and 7 assists. So it wasn't that we didn't feel that they could do it. We just didn't do it. And, you know, it is a game of fine margins.
As for the league itself, year two, after the wildly successful inaugural season, there's been some rumblings that perhaps there'll be an eighth team, perhaps there'll be an announcement for 2021 about an eighth or a ninth or a ninth and a tenth team. What would your gut tell you about expansion? Because seven just isn't quite perfect. We've seen it in the CFL forever. The odd number makes it more difficult for scheduling. And I think the league would love to get in a more regular rhythm about what days games are played on, so fans can get into that rhythm as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I'm a fan as well. We as a family own six season tickets. So for us, you know, it's you want it to be on a weekend. I think that's the perfect time. You know, midweek, absolutely, for your cup games and the odd ones through the summer. But I think, you know, having a regularity with a schedule is the optimum. I literally just got off Twitter there, and it says that Ottawa Fury are making an announcement tomorrow. I don't know anything about it. It'd be interesting to see where that runs, because everybody would, you know, would love the nation's capital in it. But again, I don't know the depth of it, but I do know, in, you know, talking with the commissioner over the, you know, and what he said publicly, that there are three sides at the table that are likely in for 2021, unless, you know, they did, like York Nine were late to the table and they came in very quickly for 2019. So, you know, nothing's impossible. There is massive interest out there. And this league is only going to go one direction, because, like I said, look at the crowds we've had on average across the country, and we're still leading towards the 2026 World Cup, where it is going to come through Canada, US, and Mexico. I think it's only going to continue to grow.
Yeah, it's incredible that this was just an idea that you'd talked about years ago, not the whole league itself, but that something like this could happen, and that, yes, Calgary could have a team, and suddenly, you know, you're introduced to the folks at Spruce Meadows. That seems like a fit. Timing-wise, it's perfect. I mean, to reflect, and I know it's still fresh and off the championship legs that didn't go your way, but this has come a long way for this sport in this city and the country on a bigger scale.
Yeah, I mean, you look, you know, 18 months ago, or probably less than that, we're talking about a PDL national championship win. You know, now we're contesting for, you know, having won the CPL league, we're contesting for the CPL championship, and we've also taken down the Whitecaps en route to get into the semi-finals of the Canadian championship against Montreal Impact. And, you know, I think I made a comment after the Montreal Impact game just saying, we're 100 days old. You know, give us another 100 days and let's see where we're at. And, you know, it's a lot to look back on. Listen, there's always going to be improvements, whether it's, you know, the scheduling, whether it's the playing surface, whether it's the quality of play, whether it's our performances. But I tell you, we've put together one hell of a first season in the mix, and it's only going to go one better.
Final one for you. The men's national team is set to play the second leg against the Americans. That one's coming up next week. Are you going to be there? Are you watching it in town? I feel like that's a good excuse to maybe get the foot soldiers together or some of the guys. What are you doing for the game?
That would be nice, wouldn't it? I mean, do you know what? I am definitely going to watch it. I'm not going to go all the way to Orlando as much as I would like to. I think it would be a great escape from here. But, no, I'll definitely be tuning in. I think they've got a great chance. You know, I was at the live game, and I thought they were the better of the two sides. It'll be interesting now to see how the U.S. respond, because they will respond. But I do think our Canadian men's national team is in a golden age of talent, and I think they've got all the rights to go down there and say, you know what, we can get a result down here. And I think if they can stay top of the standings, it makes the qualification for the Hex that much easier, and you know, the boys are in a good time.
Incredible to think that we might see this group get to the World Cup without having to use the we're hosting excuse, or maybe even get in a tournament early. That would be sensational, and the CPL is going to become a big part of the development of that national team as well, as we've already seen. Thanks for your time. We'll wish you all the best, and I'll try to chase you down for maybe a tea and some footy.
Absolutely. I'm always up for a little bit of that.